Welcome to Paper Trail Pro, the very first podcast of the charity Paper Trail, Legacy Archive Research. My name is Kieran McArch and I am founder of Paper Trail. And because this is the first podcast, I'll tell you a little bit about the charity's work and indeed my history. Paper Trail helps victims and survivors, former combatants, families impacted by the latest conflict in the north of Ireland access official information, which has been buried in archives for decades. We're also a social enterprise that offers unique legacy archive research and consultancy services to the legal profession and the media. Then any money that we make is reinvested to help other families in the pursuit of truth. I am author of the book, The McGurk's Bar Bombing, and an activist with the Families Campaign for Truth. My grandmother, Kathleen Irvine, was one of 15 civilians killed in the McGurk's Bar Massacre of 4th of December 1971. Two of the dead of that atrocity included children, James Crummie and Maria McGurk, the owner's daughter. I've also written numerous articles and essays on the conflict. My common theme is that ordinary people like me share a great need to know what happened to their loved ones and why war came to their front door, but they have to fight for scraps of information and even a modicum of truth. The pro of Paper Trail Pro of this podcast comes from our website's address, www.papertrail.pro. On our website, you will find details of an exciting new project which offers advocacy support to victims and survivors of the conflict in the north of Ireland. We help those who may wish to engage with statutory bodies dealing with the legacy of the past. We work closely with campaigners and legal teams to target and retrieve key archives from public records. Invariably, this is significant evidence which the British authorities and the police service have missed, they have ignored, and in some cases, buried. This project is supported by European Union's Peace 4 programme. It's managed by the Special EU Programmes Body and the Victims and Survivors Service. Any views or opinions that you may hear me express during this podcast are may not be shared with either the funder or the charity. They're mine and mine alone, so you know who to blame. That's as much of a disclaimer as I can give. We also offer victims and survivors across the north of Ireland free legacy archive training, so they too can become raiders of the lost archives, so that they too can search through public records and access information that they need. We teach them how to target and access that information, what to look for, how to track it. We have trainers teach them how to record and interview their friends and family ethically and professionally, so that they can tell their own story in their own words. We don't want another Boston tapes on our hands. We will even publish these stories and experiences so that they exist as references, not only for family, but for posterity. For we believe that history informs the present, and if we're not to repeat the mistakes of the past, we must learn from them. Which leads me to the subject of my first podcast. This is a story that I use as an example to groups of the complexity of Ireland's relationship with Britain, and indeed of Catholic and Protestant in the north of Ireland. Although it's one that many of us share, it has broken the ice with many a meeting of loyalists and surprised a few Republicans too, who may know my community background and the work that I do uncovering mainly British cover-ups. What I'm able to tell them is that my family's rich military history was one in British Army uniform. My grandfather, John Irvine, Kathleen's husband, was the only person in that part of McGurk's Bar who was trailed out alive. A generation before that, he was actually a colour sergeant in the Royal Irish Fusiliers, and he fought throughout the whole of the Second World War. His battle honours were won during the Siege of Malta and throughout campaigns in North Africa. At the outbreak of World War I, Kathleen had actually waved off an older brother too, John O'Halloran, who had immediately joined up to serve with the Royal Ulster Rifles. She never saw him again. Amid the rout of Allied forces by the Nazi Blitzkrieg in northwest France and Belgium, John's regiment had been rushed forward to plug the frantic retreat and to defend the corridor at Dunkirk. Now, this bought time for the escape of hundreds of thousands of troops, but the Royal Ulster Rifles were mauled, and in the melee, sometime around the end of May, beginning of June 1940, Corporal John O'Halloran was killed by German forces. And it was only whilst researching my book that I finally found my great-uncle's grave in Dunkirk, laid beside his comrades. Buried not too far away from him in France, but a generation before, is Rifleman Robert Arthurs of the 1st Battalion of the Royal Irish Rifles. He died on 12th of March 1915, fighting bayonet to bayonet with the Kaiser's army at the Battle of Neuve-Chapelle. Robert is my great-great-uncle. Neuve-Chapelle was a historic battle amid a so-called Great War, and I often thought what wonders Robert saw in the hours before he was killed, and what horrors too, of course. On the 100th anniversary of his death in 2015, I actually woke up thinking about him, in that weary no man's land of not knowing whether he was my first thought that morning or whether I'd been dreaming about him. I wrote about him later that day though. Robert was named after his father, my great-great-grandfather, who worked in Belfast Docks. In 1901, the Arthurs family lived in Garmoyle Street in Sailor Town, which then was a haven working class community beneath the gantries on the north side of the basin. My great-grandfather Francis was a doctor too and worked in the docks at the time that the Titanic was built. He died in a work accident when he was crushed in a grain silo, and his son Robert, my grandfather, worked in the docks all of his life as well. Two of his sons were merchant seamen and one, my uncle Robert, worked on the QE2, but that's a story for another day. So before we moved to Leper Street in the New Lodge, the Arthurs family was Sailor Town, born, battered and bred. Rifleman Robert Arthurs took to the sea with the Royal Irish Rifles and won a 1914 star as a member of the British Expeditionary Force that fought from the outbreak of war in France and Belgium. Now, whether it was misplaced adventure or answering John Redmond's misplaced call to arms, I do not know why Robert Arthurs joined the British Army to fight a rich man's war, nor do I consider it my place to judge. For it may be that he and his family, like thousands of other Belfast families, simply needed means to feed themselves. When he died in a corner of France, far from his home, his wife Teresa was living in Dock Lane, just around the corner from Garmoyle Street. The Battle of Neuve Chapelle, which began on 10th of March 1915, marked a watershed not only for the battalion and for the British Army, but also for static warfare of the trenches. This was the first large-scale organised British offensive of the war and showed that breakthrough could be achieved through plan and build-up and surprise. As well as battalions from Ireland, England, Scotland and Wales, there were many Indian regiments in the order of battle as well, including the Garhwalis and Gurkhas from the Great Himalayan Range, men who were even farther from home. The Connacht Rangers were actually stationed in India at the outbreak of war and accompanied the Lahore Division thousands of miles back to the Western Front. For days above Robert's head, the world's first warplanes buzzed about the skies, and what a sight that must have been, if his thoughts were not on home, his family and his life. The night before the attack, a light snowfall turned to damp morning mist as he took his place. After a thunderous barrage lifted and a squeal of a thousand whistles, Robert went over the top. It was a world away from the Christmas truce a few weeks earlier when the Royal Irish Riflemen were among thousands of troops from both sides who got up out of the freezing trenches and tramped across the snow and open ground to greet each other in no man's land, or in this one instant, every man's land. They played football, they exchanged small gifts, then the killing resumed. After the initial shock and awe of Neuve Chapelle, the British Army got bogged down once more in the mud, hampered by delay and a breakdown of communication and supply. So Neuve Chapelle also became a pointer for the problems that lay ahead when commanders could not learn quickly, adapt and redeploy. Following a tremendous advance, the Royal Irish Rifles helped secure the village, but they were ordered to stop. Then, on the 12th, at a bayonet point, the Rifles had to weather wave after wave of German counterattack. The battalion held fast, but at the cost of over 450 souls. Amid these battles, when steel met cold steel, Rifleman Robert Arthurs, our much-loved family member, met his fate. He is buried far from home, but beside his comrades in Merville Communal Cemetery close to Neuve Chapelle. Thank you for joining Paper Trail Pro. In our next podcast, I will be talking about the renowned British soldier, military author and so-called counterinsurgency expert, General Frank Kitson, who was brigadier in charge of Belfast in the early 1970s, a formative time for how Britain was to wage its war in the years following. He was a war hero to some, to others, a director of terrorism. Thank you.